Welcome to Zone In. I'm your host, Steve Lewis. And for the next hour, you'll be zoned in for fitness. I'm back this week, and today's guest is, again, Mr. Keith Johnson. Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Good, Steve. Thanks again for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm excited to get going today. We started that five-part series here where we're going to talking about weight loss. The thing we talked about last week was assessing your body type, and that pretty much is the first step, you know, in weight loss, figuring out where you are and, you know, what you can become and so on and so forth. So this week we're going to start into planning the diet, what you actually need to, you know, in order to get going after you've assessed, you know, what your body type is and your needs and so forth. The next thing is the big thing, really, like you said, is about 80% of it is planning the diet. So we're going to talk about that. But before we begin, I probably want to go back and recap some of the things we talked about last week, which were, reviewing everybody's individual body type. You know, because everybody, you know, has, you know, although everybody can kind of fit into certain, you know, categories, but we're all individuals, and so, you know, it's not really realistic to think that, you know, if you have one body type, that by losing some weight that you're going to turn into Arnold Schwarzenegger or Jennifer Lopez. So, you know, you have to really figure out where you are and what you need to do. But you can become the best you are, okay, with a good plan, and that's what we're trying to put out here. So that was one of the things we talked about, you know, last week. And then, you know, and we've been talking for the, you know, for a couple of months here about, you know, when you're looking at yourself, you know, you got to try to figure out, you know, where you're, you know, how much you need to lose, basically. You know, there are a lot of guidelines out there, you know, like the BMI that the government puts out, or I should say the medical community puts out. But really, you know, a safe measure of where you are is based on you individually. You know, not just because of your height or your weight, but it's actually your activity level and what you need to be doing. So if, like you, Keith, if you're a bodybuilder, I mean, you're going to want to carry, you know, quite a bit of muscle, okay, and a lot of less fat. But somebody ordinary, you know, they're not going to want to do that. So it depends on, and also included in that is your age. So, you know, you've got to look at where you are in life and what you're doing in life to say, okay, this is my ideal weight, and what can I look at to see, you know, where I need to go. And a lot of that is, you know, like I said, you know, years ago when I was doing it, I would just say, look, here's a photo of somebody that you could possibly be, you know, based on your body type, you're pretty much similar. And then, you know, mentally you start getting a picture for what you need to do to move toward that, you know, toward that goal. So next, you know, we talked about, you know, what kind of motivates anybody in order to get going, you know, and last week was pretty much, we were talking about females. This week, I think we're going to, you know, touch on the males just a little bit to go back through after we, you know, finish going back over these highlights from last week. We'll talk about what the males need in order to get going, you know, as far as the motivation. But Keith, I'm gonna stop here for a minute. I'm gonna let you take over and kind of, like, you know, go back over what your thoughts are on assessing the body. You know, that's because that's the first thing you do, like you said, in your training routine for all your clients.
Well, just like I said, Steve, you got to first of all take an honest good look at yourself in the mirror. I mean, if you're 5'4" with 40% body fat, you're probably not gonna be, you know, Dwight Howard. You know, for a couple of reasons. You know, he's a little bit taller and he's a little leaner, but you can take a good look at yourself, find your strengths, your weaknesses, and gauge where you need to go from there. I mean, like you said, it's good to kind of identify with somebody who has a certain body frame or type that's similar to yours, because then you kind of have a goal to strive for. And like you said, you can visualize what you will look like if you stick to your diet, stick to your training, and have proper rest. So I agree with you on that. I mean, you know, you can touch on, you know, if I look at wider hips, shoulders, you know, if your waist is a little bit bigger, you know, those are all things you got to examine when you're starting out to figure out what you need to work on. You know, you could even think about, you know, I got longer arms, I got shorter arms, you know, what that's going to do for my lifting, my training, for my cardio. These are all things that you can examine by just looking at your body yourself. You don't need any scientific formulas. You don't need to check your DNA or anything. These are all things that just take the mirror to figure out, okay, these are the things I'm going to need to attack and maybe work a little bit harder on, or I got, you know, pretty good arms, or my stomach's already looking pretty good. I can maybe work more on building up than maybe reducing the fat. So that's first and foremost as far as examining your body type.
Okay.
Other than that, you know, you'd have to go onto your diet, and that's really probably the next phase of where we're heading today.
Right, exactly. And, you know, and we also talked a little bit about what actually motivates people, you know. And like I said, you know, women are different than men, you know. Is that the ladies, they want something that's visible and measurable. So, you know, you've got to, and that's kind of the other thing in terms of the whole program itself. You're going to have to figure out what your goal is, and then after you figure out what your goal is, then you're going to want to look at what's going to motivate you to, you know, to keep going toward that goal. So for ladies, you know, they want something, you know, to say, you know, yeah, I lost a couple of inches here, because there's something that can, you know, I can get into this dress size that I wasn't able to get into before, or you know, look at my thighs, you know, it's not as thick, or look at my triceps, you know, which is the big meat part of my arm, you know, it's not hanging, or it's not loose, or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So they want something that is visible and measurable right away. So, and, you know, like any program, it's going to work, but the thing is that you can't give up on it. So, you know, and I'm sure, you know, just like what you do, you know, you go out there and say, look, okay, you tell them what they need to do. And then once you realize what their motivation is, you start, you know, guiding them. Say, look, see what's happening now. You know, you're losing an inch here, you're gaining it, you're toning up here, so on and so forth. And that is what keeps the ladies going. I mean, they just, you know, that's what they love. They want something visible and measurable, something to say, you know what, I'm, you know, I wasn't able to get in that old dress before, and now I'm back in there. You know, I'm back, I'm coming back, and that's what they want to feel. We didn't touch too much on the guys, and I want to say a little bit about them, because their motivation is totally different. And, you know, it's you know, and this is, I'm just going back from experience and listening to several guys over the course of 30-some years, you know, talk to me about, okay, why they either will not go to the gym or they do not think they should lose weight. And one of the things is the connotations. When you say weight loss to a guy, I don't think he hears weight loss. He hears loser. He's thinking, If I lose weight, am I going to be less of a man? You know what I'm saying? He says, because I know I already have enough strength now, but if I lose, am I going to lose anything? No. But if you tell him you're going to gain strength, that's what he wants to hear. Because it's like, okay, if I gain strength, okay, it's like putting a gun in my pocket. Yeah, I'm ready to go. Yeah, I can. I don't care who knows about it, but I know, I feel confident that I got this strength. It's like a gun in my pocket. I can do whatever I want to do. But the thing here is that you first got to assess him. You know, where is he at? You know, how much muscle does he have? I mean, so in doing so, he's got to take a realistic view of, you know, what's ever out there. And that's where it becomes difficult for the guy. Now, getting the guy into the gym, okay? Because I'm going to tell you, if you really you want to work on a guy, the easiest thing to do is to call him up and say, look, I'll be at your house. He'll love to do that. I'll bring all the equipment and everything, and we'll set up in your house. There are two reasons why a guy will not go to the gym. I should say two main reasons. The first one is he has to take his clothes off. Okay, I'm just telling you, that's anytime anytime I've ever talked to a guy that said, look, if you want to go on a program, you got to come over to the gym. The first question they ask is, if I go to the locker room, do I have to take my clothes off? And really, and I kind of understand what maybe some of what they're saying, because they really don't want anybody to see them in the condition that they're currently in. Okay, well, I'm like, okay, well, that's got to change. Somehow they've got to figure out, you know, eventually, yeah, you're going to get sweaty and then, you know, you're going to have to shower. But maybe you can do it, go to the gym and then come out, because now, you know, everybody's now that they go to the gyms that are, there's a gym everywhere. Before, even years ago, you know, you'd have to travel 10 miles to a gym or a health club or something. Now, there's almost a gym on every corner. So it's pretty easy. So now, if that's the case, they can go to a gym that's relatively close. They go over to the gym, and then they can go home and shower. Okay? So that has eliminated, you know, one of the fears that they had was the fact that I got to take my clothes off and show my, you know, current condition. All right. The next problem that the guys have getting into the gym is that, let's say a guy is 6'3", 6'4", weighs about, you know, 250. He goes in there, okay? But now, he can only bench press, say, 75 pounds, 80 pounds, 100 pounds. And there's some guy over there, 5'4", bench pressing 500 pounds. Oh, as soon as the guy sees that, he's like, oh, I can't stay in here. I'm going to look like this big doofus or goofy guy or less of a man. So I don't even want to think about that. So they stay away. So you can't even talk to them about weight loss. It's you know, all those things come up in your mind. So now I think it's a little easier to coax them in because, you know, with the way the gyms are, nobody's really paying attention. And when the guys walk in and they see that, they're kind of like, okay, you know, maybe I can do this because nobody's really noticing. Nobody's, you know, I don't know anybody's name. Nobody's talking. But that's, so there's no attention. I mean, basically is what I'm trying to say. And that's where they may say, okay, this is doable. You know, I'll go with a trainer and then we go from there. But after they get past that, you know, phase of it, it's a lot easier for them. Now comes, I mean, and that's just the psychological phase. So that's where, and that's both the men and the women, you know, what they're going to do. But now comes the more difficult thing, okay? Because today we're going to start talking about planning the diet. And I think this is more difficult because it's a whole different lifestyle change. I mean, you know, they've been brought up to think that, okay, every time they see fried chicken, boy, you're going to have a good time there. Or every time they see, you know, a pizza loaded up with everything, boy, there's going to be a good time there. So now you're telling them, look, okay, those are things that you only enjoy only on certain occasions, you know. No, this is where, you know, what do you say, the rubber meets the road. This is where you really got to sit down and say, look, this is what you got to be committed to. You want to get that goal over there to, you know, to whatever body style that, you know, that you have and what you want to get to. This is what you got to do. You got to take this into account every day of your life when you get up, before you go to sleep, to figure out, okay, what you're going to be eating. So, Keith, I'm going to let you start off and you give us some ideas on how we start, you know, get going with this, you know, this major lifestyle change of planning the diet.
Well, first and foremost, the thing I'm going to do with myself, my clients, anybody, what I tell them to do is keep track of the calories you're currently taking in. And that would be the food you're eating and the beverages that you drink that have calories in them. But I'm also interested in seeing how much water you're taking in. Those things right there will set you on a path to success ahead of just starting a crash diet of 1,000 calories a day or, you know, some low-carb, ketogenic, or Atkins diet where nobody really knows what they're doing or if it's right or if it's healthy. This is going to set you on a path to find out, all right, I'm taking in these nutrients, these calories, and then I can adjust from there. So many people I know don't even realize they're taking in 4,000 or 5,000 calories and they think they're taking in 2,000. They just assume that their portions are the single serving that they're supposed to be, but in reality they're taking in 3-4 times the amount of food they should be taking in each meal. So from there, I suggested probably at least 4 to 7 days of writing down your food and analyzing what you're taking in, what you're drinking, what you're eating, to figure out, okay, I'm going to take in 2,400 calories. I'm going to have, 40% of that be from protein, 30% from carbs and 30% from fat. Those are just numbers I'm throwing out right now. That's not a set guideline.
I understand. Okay.
But at least I can go from there and figure out what I'm taking in and the foods I need to be eating instead of the ice cream and the cookies and the fried chicken and those not so desirable foods. Well, they're very desirable, but they're not so good for your food.
Exactly.
But another big point that I have with food logs or just keeping track of your food is I know myself, if I write in that journal, oh man, I had 12 pieces of pizza, 2 beers, I'm a little embarrassed, and then I realize that I'm taking in, an extra 2,000 calories from that one meal. So therefore, that's going to make me think twice about eating that pizza tomorrow with my buddies or with my family.
Right.
It just keeps you honest, not only with yourself, but everybody around you. You know, when you take in, I'll have one beer here, one pop, or, a couple cookies, you look at that by the end of the week, that's, could be 3,600 extra calories, which is a pound of weight. So the food log, I can't stress enough how important it is for you to just keep track of what you're eating to figure out what calories you're taking in and the nutrients that you're getting.
Right.
After that, Steve, I'd probably analyze the food journal. I'd probably figure out my body weight. And I kind of go by an old school approach of, you take your lean body mass and you multiply it by 12 or 14 calories per pound to figure out what a good baseline of calories would be for a person looking to lose weight.
Okay. Now you're checking
That's
the
kind
difference.
Of an old.
I'm sorry.
Go
you're
on,
taking their current weight. I'm saying you're taking their current weight. Okay. All right. Go ahead. Okay. Sorry.
You're taking your current weight and then you're going to multiply that by 12. To let's say 14 calories, depending on your body fat level, and getting that number, and then that's what you're going to base things on. So, if you're 200 pounds, let's say, you're going to multiply that by 12, that's 2,400 calories.
Right.
So,
okay.
I'm going to start at 2,400 calories, and if I'm getting 40% of that from protein, I'm just going to multiply that by 0.4. The fat and the carbs are both going to be 30%, so just times that by 0.3, the 2,400, and then I can get the approximately how many calories I'm going to get from protein, fat, and carbs, divide that by 4 for the protein and the carbs and 9 for the fat, and I can decide right there how many grams of protein, carbs, and fat I'm going to be needing.
Okay.
Right there, you're setting yourself off for a good success plan for figuring out how many calories you should be taking in and the nutrients, the macronutrients that you need.
Okay. So now, is this when you do the calculation, you're basing it on what their current weight is, right? Or is it with their lean body weight?
Yeah, current weight. Not their desired weight, but their current body weight that they're at.
Okay. All right. Okay. So then you assess their current body weight. And then at that point, you don't drop the calories by anything, or you just go by what their you just adjust their menu or their diet menu based on that calorie count that you come up with. Is that it?
That is correct, but that's a good point you just brought up there, Steve. Let's say I was looking over your diet and you wrote it down for a week for me. And you're 200 pounds hypothetically, and you're supposed to be taking in 2,400 calories to lose weight, and you're only taking in 2,200. Now I'm going to look at that and see you're only eating twice a day, and in each of those meals, you know, one meal could be 1,800, another one could be 600. So you're really piling in the calories and sending your body into, you know, overload and then almost like a starvation mode where it's going to hold on to those calories instead of burn them like we talked about keeping that metabolism going last week. So
that's
I'm going to look at that and I'm going to go, okay, instead of two Big Macs, an order of fries, a Coke, and a small ice cream cone for the day, I'm going to start breaking your meals up a little bit more often throughout the day, aim for about 4 to 6, and that's going to keep our metabolism flowing better, and you're going to still be taking in approximately the same amount of calories just from healthier sources, and you're going to be working better and more efficiently to burn body fat.
Okay. Now, how important are fruits and vegetables in the diet? I mean, what do they actually do for you? I mean, you know, because everybody's saying you got to have them. But, you know, and looking back, a lot of people that before they go on the diet, when you look at their food journal or go back and ask them, you know, hey, what were you eating? They'll say, you know, I wasn't eating a lot of fruits and vegetables. I mean, how do you feel about that in terms of, you know, placing those into the diet, and are, you know, is there a place for them when you go on a diet, or do you just wait until after you've lost your weight and then you try to maintain with those things? Well, what do you think?
You know, I'm gonna talk about vegetables first, because I think for dieting, vegetables are a better tool than fruit for a couple of reasons. Just to start off with, vegetables are typically much lower in calories than fruit. And a lot of those calories are from fiber or just trace amounts of carbohydrates. So the great thing about them, in a cup of broccoli, you're getting only 30 calories. It's going to have 2 grams of fiber in it and then 2 grams of regular carbohydrates and then a gram of protein that is not necessarily completely a source of amino acids, but it's still a gram of protein. But
right,
it'll fill you up really well. So I know when I'm dieting, if I'm hungry, I can go to certain vegetables and get in a lot of vitamins and nutrients along with filling myself up with my protein and my healthy fats. So vegetables work as a great filler, but they also have, you know, the benefits of the fiber to help with digestion. And then they also carry with them a lot of vitamins and minerals. So right there, vegetables are a great dieting tool. I mean, for me, they're just so important for keeping the body, you know, keeping yourself full. You know, you can splurge, maybe make a mistake on, you know, cauliflower and broccoli or asparagus and still not go far off your calorie totals. But with their counterpart, fruit, you know, everybody says fruit, eat fruit, eat fruit, eat fruit. The problem with it is it's still all sugar, Steve. I mean, sure, it's from fructose and it's going to be a little bit better than, you know, a candy bar or a pop. But it is still sugar no matter what. I can't advocate this much, you know, to people, is that it's still sugar. You know, sugar is killing this country. That's our main epidemic, is just everybody, everything's sugar, you know.
I agree.
Look at the diabetes rates right now. It's insane. But that's a whole nother hour of the show we could talk about.
Right.
That, but, we really have to avoid those sugars. But there's a couple fruits that I really think are beneficial for a diet. I'm going to start with apples. For one thing, you know, a medium-sized apple has about 20 grams of carbs in it. 5 of those are going to be from fiber. It's got a digestive enzyme in it called pectin, and that's going to help out with digesting, you know, your foods, your proteins, everything. And it's going to be a slower-digesting fruit as compared to, like, a watermelon or grapes or something along the lines where it's pretty much just sugar, and your body's really going to digest that fast, and your insulin's going to spike, and you're going to have a crash. So therefore, apples are great, grapefruits are good, you know, they fill you up, they're time-consuming to eat, they have some beneficial fat-burning nutrients in them that, you know, have been shown to help burn more calories when associated with a healthy diet. Other than those two, you know, I really only focus on those two when I'm dieting. Because a lot of other, you know, fruits, I love oranges, I love, you know, grapes, I love watermelon, but they're all just too high in sugar and calories for me to eat those on a regular basis when I'm on a diet.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm going to tell you, Keith, you know, really, you're saying apples and broccoli, those aren't like the most, how am I going to say, the most delicious things that you could actually pick as far as you're going to pick fruits and vegetables. But, you know, so is there any way you can, now how do you do it? Is there any way you prepare them to make them, you know, taste better? I mean, is there something that you put on them or something? Do you start, or is there somewhere you prepare, you know, what do you do to make it a little bit more, taste a little better?
All right, well, this is where people are going to think I'm maybe a little bit of a robot or, you know, weird. But with apples, I think they're great. They taste good. But you know one thing that you could complement an apple with that's good is some natural peanut butter.
Okay.
You're going to get a double whammy effect by adding the peanut butter in because you're going to get some healthy fats, a little bit of extra protein, and it's going to slow down the digestion of those carbs even more. So you're not going to get a huge insulin spike because the fat's going to slow down the digestion. You're going to get a little bit more sustained energy, and you're getting extra protein, and who doesn't like peanut butter?
Okay.
I don't know anybody who doesn't like peanut butter.
No, you could be allergic to it, but that's true. And then
Now, broccoli is a whole new, you know, beast. I'm a cauliflower fan, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I'd have to say broccoli probably is better for you, but cauliflower is my choice of, vegetables, fibrous vegetables like that.
Okay.
Asparagus is another great one, and you can really season those two veggies with, you know, maybe a little seasoned salt or some pepper, salt, even maybe, if you're a little bit of a splurge, some grass-fed butter, that would be good for you because it's a little bit of fat, extra fat, but it also, again, slows down the digestion. But, that's about all I can say about that is, you know, other than that, sometimes getting lean is not always the tastiest times of your life.
Tastiest thing, right, okay. Now, after you've, you know, lost the weight that you want, you still need the fruits and vegetables, but do you have to just choose, you know, between apples and broccoli maybe, or even cauliflower or something? Or
no, this
just...
is where you get to go experiment a little bit more and enjoy, you know, kiwis, pears, all those great fruits. Believe me, I love fruit. It tastes great. But again, you don't want to go back to where you were once you hit your goal of, you know, gaining the weight right back. So,
right.
Again, you know, portion control is huge. So if you want some watermelon, that's great. Just don't eat a whole watermelon.
Okay.
If you want some grapes, get a handful, not, a whole bushel of them or something. So, of course, you can, once you reach your weight loss goals, you can kind of get away with eating certain fruits and vegetables that you normally wouldn't eat when you're on a strict diet, when you're trying to lean out for the summer or for that wedding that everybody's getting ready for.
Yeah, right. Now, Keith, you also mentioned, you know, your protein, well, requirements. You kind of like, you know, put in there a number that you were shooting for. You said like 30% of the diet should be from protein. So what kind of protein sources are we looking at here? I mean, you know, you said that even broccoli has, you know, some protein in there. So what's going to make up that 30% that you were thinking about?
Not to disagree, I said 40. I like 40% of my protein.
Okay.
But I'm looking for primarily meat sources, eggs, dairy products such as cottage cheese. You know, skim milk is good for you,
okay,
as long as you're not lactose intolerant. Fish of all sorts. Those are the five big ones. You know, the dairy products, really, when I'm on a strict diet, I'm not eating too many of them because they hold a little bit of water, and I find it's a little harder to get as lean as possible when you eat those two. But for your ordinary dieter, I think they're a good tool.
Okay.
But I don't even count vegetable proteins as towards my daily requirement because they don't have a full amino acid spectrum. This is where our vegan listeners are, again, going to be unhappy with me. But
yeah, that's true.
I don't count those towards my 40% of my diet.
Okay.
So it's primarily from meat sources, fish, chicken, you know, eggs, those types of foods that I get my protein from.
Okay. and I know we talked about this before a little bit, but so is there anything that the vegans can do out there? Because, you know, they're going to say, you know, we got to stay away from that meat. What would you suggest for them to try and get 40% of their, protein requirements in? I mean, how would they get it into their diet? Because, I mean, really, they're going to have issues, too, as far as being overweight. So how would you do
it? This is where them being strict to their diet, and they're going to have to get a multitude of different types of protein. You know, beans are a big one for vegans and vegetarians. You know, these veggies do have amino acids in them. You just got to combine them with other ones. So their theory is that if they take in enough protein, the amino acids are going to find each other and they're going to form a complete protein molecule. So
okay. For
a vegan, they just got to make sure, and vegetarian friends, they got to make sure they're still taking in enough protein. The problem with a lot of vegetarian and vegans that are overweight is that they're taking in, they're eating French fries. They're eating, fatty types of, vegetables or starches instead of, healthier counterparts, such as the beans, the couscous, the tofu is a big one for vegans.
Oh, as far as protein, right, yeah, that's true.
As far as the protein goes, so you really have to advocate to them just to make sure they're taking in enough protein from all the sources that they're getting it from.
Okay. Wow, that sounds good. All right, well, at least they got something that they can go on. I mean, yeah.
You know, another big one for vegans, also not to interrupt you, Steve, is, rice. Sure. A brown rice protein is a big one right now. So in the sports nutrition business, there is they're really gearing towards everyone. So you can find a supplemental protein, too, to help you reach your 40% or whatever you decide your protein requirements are for that day.
Yeah, and no matter what the situation is, I think, like you're saying, that point there is that, supplementing with certain proteins. I know I do a lot of whey protein, supplement, whether I'm dieting or not, and I know that's a big thing, because you can't sometimes get it all in or you don't feel like eating it all. So, supplementing with something is always definitely a big option. So, okay, I like that. Hey, Keith, we're going to take a break here. And then when we come back, we're going to try and, figure out, what we need to do to get a plan started for everybody. So right now, we're going to take a little break in the action, and we'll be back.
Bring the action.
When you hear this in the club, you're gonna turn the shit up. You're gonna turn the shit up. You're gonna turn the shit up. When we up in the club, all eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us. See the boys in the club. They watching us. They watching us. They watching us. Everybody in the club. All eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us.
I wanna scream and shout and let it all out. And scream and shout and let it out. We sayin' oh, we oh, we oh, we oh. We sayin' oh, we oh, we oh, we oh. I wanna scream and shout and let it all out. And scream and shout and let it out. We sayin' oh, we oh, we oh, we oh.
Now, rockin' with Will I Am in
Britney, bitch.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bring the action.
Rock and roll. Everybody, let's lose control. All the bottom, we let it go. Going fast, we ain't going slow. No, no. Hear the beat, now let's hit the flow. Drink it up and then drink some more. Light it up and let's let it blow, blow, blow. Hey, yo, rock it out, rock it now. If you know what we talking about, burn it up and burn down the house, half, half. Hey, yo, turn it up and don't turn it down. Here we go shake the ground. Cause everywhere that we go, we
bring. Bring the action.
When you have us in the club, you're gonna turn the shit up. You're gonna turn the shit up. You're gonna turn the shit up. When we up in the club, all eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us.
You see them girls in the club, they looking at us. They looking at us. They looking at us.
Everybody in the club, all eyes on us. All eyes on us. All eyes on us.
I wanna scream and shout and let it all out. And scream and shout and let it out. We saying oh, we oh, we oh, we oh. We saying oh, we oh, we oh, we oh. I wanna scream and shout and let it all out. And scream and shout and let it out. We saying oh, we oh, we oh, we oh.
Now, rocking with Will.i.am and
Britney, bitch.
Hello again, this is Steve Lewis, Zone In. We're back talking about planning the diet. And I got our guest here today, Mr. Keith Johnson. Hey, Keith. Uh-oh, I think we might have lost Keith there.
No, I'm here. Can you hear me, Keith?
Oh, yeah, I hear you now. Okay, thanks, Keith. All right. Yeah, we were finishing up with with, you know, what you need to do, what needs to go into your diet. And the last one we talked about was some of the protein requirements. And but, you know, more importantly, anybody that's going to be looking to get in the diet, you're going to have to figure out what you need, and we're giving you some of the ideas. The next thing that we want to talk about, basically, is really the actual plan for the diet. I mean, how much you should eat, when you should eat, and then, you know, how you go about, you know, making the putting together a meal plan, basically. What I'd like to do right now is just talk about some of the reasons for this. Now, because people ask, okay, well, why is it, you know, that eating smaller meals more often is better for you? Okay, and Keith, my thing is because of the metabolism. But how do you feel about that?
Well, yeah, first and foremost, Steve, yeah, I would agree with you on that. It's going to be beneficial to your metabolism to eat more frequently throughout the day. I think I've talked about this every time I've brought up metabolism. But your body's like a fire. You want to keep putting logs on there consistently throughout the day to keep your energy levels up. And to keep your body working efficiently at not only utilizing those calories, but, you know, dipping in our fat stores and hopefully burning body fat as energy. Whereas if you just put one big log on the fire, eventually, you know, it's going to get a good flame going, but that's going to get burned out a little bit quicker, and you're not going to get that sustained energy that you get from the smaller meals throughout the day. That's the biggest thing with the metabolism, but you also digest your food a lot better when you're taking in smaller portions and not overloading your digestive system with 2,000 calories in one meal. That's another huge benefit from taking in smaller meals, is that your body can actually utilize those nutrients to its fullest extent.
Okay. But, you know, some people ask, they're saying, okay, what you're telling me that it's what I'm eating and how much I'm eating that's gotten me overweight. So why not just stop eating, just go the whole day and just eat one meal? How come I just can't do that? Or is that something that, I shouldn't do? So why should I be eating more meals? I guess it sounds like a contradictory. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like you're saying, you know, you've got to reduce what you're eating, but here it looks like I'm eating more. So what's going on there? My thing is that it's because of your metabolism, and that's why you're doing it. I mean, because in order to get your metabolism cranking, which means basically your metabolism is your body's way of burning calories, okay? In order to do that, okay, eating is one of the ways of burning calories. So, and then it actually processes food at the same time. So it's more efficient if you do it, if you eat more often in smaller meals. And that's the way I've always explained it. I mean, I'm not sure, what the training guys like you are saying now, but is that how you think, or am I totally off base?
That's exactly how it is, Steve. You know, things that the human body haven't changed too much. So, you know, if it worked 20 years ago, it's probably going to work today. You know, we've learned a little bit more about, you know, supplementation and some of the benefits of eating certain types of foods, but you know, you're exactly right, and you just got to keep feeding the body more often throughout the day with smaller portions and more, better calories than just your empty calories that you're taking in from, you know, fried foods or garbage-type products, you know, like pop, you know.
Right. Like, yeah.
Sources
well, like
such as that.
Right. That, like we just talked about. Right. Yeah. Right.
So by taking in those more, you know, beneficial calories, you're not only going to burn more body fat, but you're going to feel full longer. And you're really eating more throughout the day as far as your volume goes. You know, you're getting the vegetables, which take up more space in your stomach. The protein and the fats are going to fill you up better than all the sugar would. So it is kind of sounding crazy at first to think, man, I'm eating more. I'm eating all the time. That's what people say to you, you know, to me. You know, Keith, you're eating all the time. How do you stay lean like that? Or, you know, how can you just keep eating and eating and eating and not gain any weight or not gain any bad weight? It's because I'm feeding my body like that. We talked about like that fire. And my metabolism's roaring, you know. So that's the main reason why we
more often.
That we want more meals throughout the day.
And how do you space the meals out? How far apart should the meals be spaced out? You know, because you mentioned 4 to 6 meals, so I was trying to figure out, you know, what that would look like if you were going to, you know, lay it out on some kind of plan or something.
Realistically, my real rule for myself is, you know, I eat every 3 hours after I wake up. So I wake up, eat breakfast, and I'm going to be taking in calories every 3 hours after that will be meal
okay.
2. 3 hours after that will be meal 3. You know, that's how I base it for myself. But if we're setting up our diet, a good way of doing it is, you know, if I'm up at, you know, 7 a.m. every day, I'm going to eat breakfast by 7:30, and I'm taking in 6 meals a day. You can just calculate the time you're going to be up and when you go to bed and decide how you're going to space it evenly throughout the day. How we talked about last week was we got to be on a set schedule of sleep, wake up, go to work. That's how it's got to be when you diet. And that's why it's so important to be on that schedule, because you're spacing your 6 meals out evenly throughout the day. If you eat them by 8 o'clock at night, but you know you got to work till 1 in the morning, you're going to be in trouble. So you
right.
really got to be on top of a strict schedule and spacing those meals out evenly throughout the day.
Okay.
Usually that's about every 2 to 3 hours or 2 to 4 hours throughout a typical person's day, depending on the amount of meals they're taking in.
Okay. Well, will that interfere with, you know, with work? I mean, something like, I mean, how is that going to, you know, how would you do that? I mean, if you know, at work, you sit down and have a meeting. I mean, you know, I guess my thinking is that when you say meal, I'm actually sitting down with, you know, tablecloth, knife, fork, and, you know, a napkin, and I'm trying, you know, and that's not going to be, you know, I'm not going to be able to do that throughout my, you know, throughout the workday. I mean, how do you, so what would constitute a meal in that case, if that's what you're saying?
What I mean by a meal is, you know, taking in, first and foremost, my protein, carbs, and fat, and that could be from a protein shake with a scoop of peanut butter or a handful of almonds or an apple with. So realistically, if you got 5 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, a minute, you can run away real quick and mix a protein shake up and drink it in the bathroom if you even had to at work reach the goals you're trying to reach. Now, people say, I'm so busy, but, you know, realistically, if you put your mind to it and you plan your day appropriately, everybody can find time to mix a protein shake or to have a meal prepared. They can stop and eat within 3 to 10 minutes, you know. This is where being prepared, food preparation is the most important thing. You know, you got to make sure you're ready to eat. Now, yeah, it's not going to be possible if I got to go to, you know, the grocery store down the street, get a salad, come back to work. You know, that's not going to work. I'm going to run out of time. My boss is going to be mad at me. I got to be prepared. That's why my food should be cooked the night before, or even two nights ahead, just to make sure that I'm prepared for my following day.
Okay.
And the supplements, Steve, that's for when you're in a pinch. You know, they have meal replacement shakes. You can make your own meal replacement shakes. You know, take your whey protein or your protein supplement, throw in some oatmeal, blend it up. You got a meal on the go.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. So, yeah, so we're not basically saying that a meal, like, you know, a big breakfast, big lunch, big dinner, or are we saying we're still talking, you know, kind of those same things that everybody does that, it's just that now we're going to add maybe something else in between, like a little shake or something like that, just to make sure that, you know, you're getting the right, you're getting a good source of calories along with a good calorie count to keep you up where you should be. Is that what you're saying?
That's semi-right, but what I'm getting at is, you know, a meal is just your calories you're trying to reach for the day. I don't necessarily, you should, of course, be trying to re-get your food from whole food sources, but that's not always possible. So by meal, I mean just your allotted calories throughout the day. Now, of course, I want everybody to eat breakfast. I want everybody to eat lunch. I want everybody to eat dinner, and if they can get 3 whole food more meals in there, that'd be great too, but it's not always possible when you're working 40 to 80 hours a week. So you really got to use supplements then. But meals to me are just the calories you're taking in. You know, it could be a shake. So that's a meal to me.
That's a meal. Okay. All right. So it's just a certain number of calories, and you're saying that it constitutes an actual meal. Okay. I understand.
Yes.
Okay. So, so I guess the biggest thing here for anybody, because if you're going to do that, is going to be the planning. You know, it's going to be like, okay, so you've got to actually think ahead, like, what your schedule is. So if you're, you know, if you work out, you know, one of the steel mills, and you know that you got, you know, so before you, I'm thinking, you know, if it were me and I'm in that situation, what I would do is maybe, you know, I would have breakfast at home, okay, and before I go out to work, and then once I got to work, once they gave me my 10-minute break, I'd have to have prepared some kind of little meal at that time that I could you know, could be, like you said, like maybe a shake or whatever, and then taking that shake or either whatever, or maybe it's apple and peanut butter, as you know, as you suggested, or even then it's time to, you know, put in some broccoli or something. And then when they give me my lunch, then I take my lunch at that time, and then during lunchtime I actually have a meal prepared for my lunch hour. And then later sometime, you know, like you said, maybe you just slip away for whatever time you can, 5 or 10 minutes, with some other snack. And that would be 4 meals right there. So, and then your last meal is when you probably get home. So, you know, that would be, you know, that would take into account at least 5 meals right there that I know of. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. That's exactly the way I think it should be as well. You know, you break up the day. But a lot of people, that is, you know, quite a bit of work. But anything is going to, you know, require time and work once you need to do it. Because to not eat, again, like I said, is going to slow down your metabolism to the point that, you know, you're not really burning any calories, because that's what your body's saying. You know, I'm not going to burn any calories if you're not eating. So in order to crank it up, you got to eat. And the more often you eat, you know, the more calories your body looks to burn, and it keeps burning. And like you said, it's like putting a log on the fire. It just keeps burning, just keeps going the whole time. And again, this is proven. This is not something. This is not conjecture here. This is a proven method. So, and this is, like I said, I'm going back 35 years, and Keith, you're still doing that right now in practice. So we know that this works. It's just a matter of you sitting down, whoever it is, sitting down, doing it, and, you know, and going from there. Now, there is one thing that with the plan I always looked at was I looked at my activities throughout the day. So, and then based on the calories that I'm supposed to eat, I would look at, you know, how many calories I actually needed to do some of the activities. Now, this gets into a lot for anybody that's, you know, that doesn't want to do this. But, I mean, it's something that, you know, I'm thinking maybe you might want to consider. So, again, if, example, you know, I'm thinking you're going to eat more calories, you know, at breakfast than you do at dinner. Why? Because when you start out in the morning at with breakfast, that's going to be the first meal. And now you got the whole day to burn all this stuff off, okay? But at dinner, you know, you've only got a few hours to do some activities, and then it's time for bed. So it would just seem likely that dinner is going to be less calories than what you're going to start out with at breakfast. Is that not how you see that? Or is there, you know, some new technology that's got something going on that, you know, that's changed that from, say, 30 years ago?
No, of course, I would agree with you on that one also. Steve, you know, you want to take in the bulk of your calories earlier in the day to where you do have the opportunity to burn those calories off. Whereas, you know, if I ate, you know, a huge meal at night, then I would most likely store those as body fat. So, you know, how many people after they eat dinner go to the gym? Not many. I mean, there's like few, but then you're up half the night. So, realistically, another rule of thumb I have is, you know, get those carbohydrates early on in the day, because those are your energy sources anyway, and why not get them at breakfast, lunch, and maybe an early snack, a late afternoon snack, and keep your dinner primarily protein, veggies, and healthy fats. That way, you're not spiking that insulin, and you're not likely to store those calories as body fat instead of, you know, maintaining muscle mass and keeping the metabolism going faster.
Okay. Okay. So that's the same thing. Nothing's really changed. That's what everybody's got to do. They've got to sit down, figure out the plan. And like you say, you know, eat for what activity is coming up. But here you make a great point, is that when it comes, you know, we were talking about fruits and vegetables. When it comes to fruits and vegetables, have the fruits up earlier in the day, because that's when your energy level is, there's more energy required then, and you can, you know, and then it's going to burn off that sugar as opposed to later on in the evening. So I, you know, and that's the other thing, I guess, is just sitting down and making out a plan. You've got to, you know, figure out how this works for you. So, and how long do you think this takes? I mean, really, realistically, how long would it take for somebody to sit down, figure out what they do? Now, this, I'm talking about, how would they incorporate a meal plan into what they already do? Because they already know what their schedule is. They already know when they have to go to work. They know when they're going to take their lunch. They know when they're going to take their dinner, or have dinner, basically. So, you know, with that in mind, they just put together a plan as to what they're going to eat during that time, right? I mean,
wouldn't
you agree?
They answer their own question right there. I mean, all you got to do now is fill in the empty spots with meals. I mean, or, you know, if I know I'm going to the gym in 3 hours, I should probably eat now, have my food digest, go to the gym, work out at home, eat again, and that way I'm keeping my body in not only a fat-burning state, but an anabolic state to hopefully burn some or build some muscle, therefore speeding up my metabolism even more. So when you have a set schedule like most people do, it's really beneficial to a weight loss program. So as far as setting this up, it's really simple. It's just as far as keeping your food log for a week or so, figuring out your calorie totals you're going to need for weight loss, and finally breaking that down into the macronutrients you need, the proteins, the fats, and the carbs. Once you figure that out, you can go a step farther even and maybe go online. There's lots of tools to figure out if I ran for 30 minutes at a 6.0, you know, rate, how many calories I burned.
How they were burned, right.
You know, those are all supplemental things that could help, but it's really minimal work for maximal results. More or less just sitting down for that hour and figuring things out and going from there.
Right. I agree. That's definitely it. And I'm thinking the time it takes to figure it out and put down something, a plan in place, you know, it doesn't take that long. I'm thinking maybe, you know, maybe in half an hour for you to figure out your schedule as to when you can have breakfast, lunch, dinner, and squeeze in, you know, a couple of meals in between on your breaks. So, yeah, that really, especially when you're thinking that you're going to be eating anyway. So now it's just a matter of choosing the right foods and then preparing them. And I think one of the other things that you mentioned is basically, you know, the meal preparation in advance. And I'm thinking, how long does it take you to do your meals? I mean, I'm not sure now. Everybody has a little different because of, you know, their expertise in terms of, you know, how they can, you know, manage cooking and so forth. But how long does it take you?
You know, I try to cook for probably at least 2 days, 3 days in advance. And what my favorite thing to do in the world, grill. I mean, I'm lucky to have a good gas grill that I can fire up and cook, you know, 2-3 pounds of meat, chicken, you know, fish at one time.
Gotcha.
And while I'm doing that, I can be on the stovetop boiling some rice, cooking some pasta, you know, getting my broccoli, my cauliflower, my veggies all set up. That's
okay.
How you really are efficient with your meal times. It shouldn't take more than an hour or two to prepare for the next 3 days of food.
Right. So on one of your off days, you go over and for 2 hours out of that off day, then that's when you start preparing the food, right? And then have it all ready for the rest of the week.
It shouldn't even take a whole day. You should be able to do this when you get home from work, maybe, or if you got a little extra time, you can watch the game or something. It really, grilling, I find to be the most efficient way for not only, you know, getting the grease off the meats, but also for just time efficiency. You don't have to watch it that close. You can put it out there, do some other things, watch TV. That's
gotcha.
How we're
okay.
going to make eating easier.
Right. Excellent. Okay. Yeah, and I'm assuming, and if you're a vegan, you know, it's going to be even easier because you don't have to, there's not a lot of cooking that you have to do, I mean, on the grill, I mean, as far as the meats and stuff, so.
Yeah, you can really mass produce, you know, a lot of vegan or vegetarian type food. So
yeah, definitely, I see that. Okay, you know what? We're gonna wrap that up for this week, and then we'll come back next week, and then you know go back over some of the highlights, and then talk about the exercises next week. But anyway, Keith, it's been great. I appreciate it, man.
Keith,
and
I always appreciate it.
No problem. And I want you back next week.
Sounds like a plan, my man. I'll be there.
Okay. This is Steve Lewis, and you've just been zoned in for fitness, and we will be returning next week. I want to thank my guest, Mr. Keith Johnson from Schererville, Indiana, again. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Steve.
Listen to the club, you're gonna take